I say, come on. All right, good. All right, we're going to go to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter number 1. The first psalm there in that book, the longest book in the Bible. Of course, it has, I think it's 150 chapters. And we're going to start right in the first one here this morning. I pray that you'll receive a blessing from it. Psalm number 1, and we'll read all 6 verses this morning. Before we get started, I do want to tell you what our main topic is going to be today. I think I have it up here. Let's see. Can you turn that on for me, Rick? The main topic that I'm going to be talking about today is this. It's called How to Be Happy. Now, I'm sure glad I brought this today because judging by y'all's faces, y'all need it. We're going to talk about how to be happy today. Is that all right with y'all? We can do how to be sad, whatever you want to do. We don't need to learn how to be sad, do we? We're going to talk about how to be happy today. And before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the promises that are contained in it, Lord, that carry us through this life. And Lord, we just thank you so much for it. And I pray right now, God, that you would open up our hearts and minds and our souls, Lord, that we may receive the water of the Word of God. I pray that it would refresh us today. And God, I pray that it would draw us ever closer to you. That God, when we walk out of this place, we'll be glad we came to your house because we received a blessing from you and in turn got to give a blessing to you. God, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 1, of course, more than likely David wrote this. It doesn't say like a lot of them say, but more than likely this is King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he writes in this first psalm, he says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." May God add His blessing to His Word this morning. I was watching a movie a while back, and the movie intrigued me. Most of the movies that I watch, they have either a superhero and a supervillain, or a good guy or a bad guy. As you'll probably notice, I get to watch them by myself. All right, Monica doesn't like those kind of movies. But anyway, there's usually a good guy and a bad guy. In this movie, the bad guy and his people, they devised to come up with a formula that would create an airborne plague. A plague that would go airborne. And they planned on releasing it over New York City in the midst of a huge New Year's Eve crowd. And when they released this airborne plague, it would immediately kill thousands of people. So near the middle or the end of the movie, these people that came up with it, they got to the top of the building there looking over Times Square, standing over thousands of people, and they had this kind of gas gun, which they, when they shot it, it released this green gas-like substance. And what it began to do was it began to release this airborne plague into the air. And this plague, when it began to descend upon this huge crowd of people in New York City, this plague surrounded them basically like a swarm of bees. And when this plague surrounded these thousands of people, immediately it began to bring chaos, death, and even devastation. And it didn't matter where these people ran down on the street, the plague was all around them. They couldn't get away from it, Brother Johnny. And to be honest with you, even watching a movie like that was a little bit scary. It was a little bit weird to watch. It was terrible to see that happen. Now, the reason I bring this up this morning is this. Because kind of in an unseen way, that is what has happened to our country. And I'm not talking about the coronavirus, all right? I'm talking about a demonic presence that has been released over our land. And no matter where you look in our country, in this world, in our land, this presence, this plague is beginning to take over people's lives. And I like to view it just like that, like an airborne plague, because it's been released over our land, and it does not matter what state you're in, what county you're in, what country you're in, what part of the region you are in, it does not matter where you go, you and I are not going to be able to get away from it. This demonic presence, evil that has been released over our country over the past few months. Now, church, I don't mean to tell you that to scare you, all right? Because if you're a child of God, you need not fear what the world can do, and you don't even need to fear what the devil can do. Because you and I are sheltered in the arms of God. I don't tell you that to scare you, but I do tell you that for this reason. For the past 9 or 10 months or so, people have been in isolation. People have been at home more than they've really ever been. People's lives have been rocked. Everything has changed in our lives. And I tell you that because it seems like this presence, this evil, this ungodliness that has been released into our country has begun to come in our homes as well. Our homes. The place where we're comfortable. Place where we spend most of our time, the place where we live, it seems like this presence has come into our homes. I've talked to at least 5 or 6 people that are sitting in this congregation right now. And they have said this exact sentence to me. Preacher, I can't stand sitting at home. I cannot stand being at home. And I say, why? Because they'll say from sun up to sundown, it seems like there's a depression in my mind, in my emotions, and in my attitude like I've never experienced before. There's some kind of depression that has come over us like we've never had before. And especially if you've caught this virus and had to be in isolation for a week or 2 or 3, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because when your body is sick, the devil fights even harder. When we're weak, that's exactly what begins to happen. Tell me if this quote sounds familiar to your life. The days are long, the nights are longer. Sound familiar to anybody? The days seem to be long, but the nights seem to be even longer. And there's some sort of depression that has begun to come into our lives. And that is because attached to our nation right now is a demonic, ungodly, evil presence. And though, church, it cannot destroy us as the children of God, no chance that it destroys us. The job of that, though, is to depress us as children of God. Do you know that? They know they can't destroy us. They can't take us to hell. That's done. That's settled. So the job is to depress us. And judging by the looks of it, they're doing their job pretty well, aren't they? For people today in our country, in our land, and even God's people today are running very low on happiness. They're beginning to be on E, empty on that word called happiness. Now, that's the bad news. I like to give the bad news first. Here's the good news. We have a Father that is in heaven that does not want us, His children, to be unhappy or depressed in this world. I'm going to say it again since you didn't hear it. Our Heavenly Father does not want us, His children, to be unhappy or depressed in this world. Can I tell you, there is not one mother or father in this place today who delights to see their children brokenhearted. Is that right? There is no father or mother in here today that delights to see their children down, discouraged, and depressed. But it is the joy of every single father, of every single mother, to look at their children and they're filled with happiness. That's what every parent wants for their child. As long as they're happy, the parent will be happy. Am I right? So don't you think that if me, just being an imperfect earthly father, wants my son to be happy more than anything, don't you think a perfect heavenly father wants that for us, his children, too? Some of you may not believe me. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him?" You know what Jesus is saying there? He's basically saying, Justin, if your son walks up to you in 3 years, Levi comes up to me around his birthday and says, "Daddy, I want a bicycle." And he comes back the next day, "Daddy, I want a bicycle. Daddy, I want a bicycle." You know what Daddy's going to do? "Daddy, there is no doubt in my mind right now. I would give up every check that I have to give my son what he wants. If it is good for him and it's something that he wants and it's good, Daddy is going to give him what he asked for." Jesus is saying, man, you are an imperfect father. You're a sinner. And you would give your children what they ask for if it's good for them. Don't you think that a good, perfect Heavenly Father would give good things to us, His children, that ask Him? And one of the good things that our Heavenly Father wants to give us is happiness. He wants to give us joy. Our Heavenly Father delights to do that. He wants to give His children happiness. And I believe Psalm chapter 1 is the child of God's formula for happiness. You see, a formula means you put this together, you add it to this, and it's going to equal out to this. Well, basically what Psalm 1 is going to do for us is say, get this, and if you add it to this and put it in with this, you know what it will equal? God's happiness. Not my happiness, all right? God's. God's joy. God's blessing on our life. How many of you want God's blessing on your life? God's joy in your life. This is exactly what Psalm 1 is about. So there's conditions that must be met, according to Psalm 1, in order for us to receive the blessedness that God wants to give us. And we'll talk about some of those conditions today. Not sure how far we'll get. We'll just see where the Lord takes us, okay? Number one, how to be happy. You got to have the right definition of what happy is. You got to know what it is. The right definition. Look at verse 1. We're going to look at the first word. Blessed. Blessed is the man, and it goes on to give a description of a man who is blessed. Now that Hebrew word for blessed or blessed is the Hebrew word esher. All right. It is used 45 times in the Old Testament. 45 times. 27 is translated blessed, and 18 times is translated happy. So the word can mean blessed or happy. So Psalm 1 is basically saying this: happy is the man who. And then it tells you a description of this man who is happy. And before we can get into a description of a man who is happy, you need to have a definition of what this happy really means. Because there are hundreds, and I would dare to say thousands, of definitions of what happiness is today. If I were to walk in the streets of a huge city. Say, we'll say New York City again. And I were to walk up to 10 different people and have a piece of paper and say, sir, I want you to write a paragraph about a man who is happy. Describe to me in one paragraph a man that you would describe as happy. I believe here is what most of the responses would say. It would probably say, happy is the man who's got a good job. Happy is the man who has a nice income and doesn't have to worry about spending. Happy is the man who has lots of friends and a good social life. Happy is the man who's got a nice home, a nice wife, and man, he's got a good retirement plan. If he has all of those things, happy will be that man. That is the definition of happiness in our world today. But can I tell you, that is man's way to happiness, not God's. For we know you can have all of those things and still be pleasantly unhappy. You can have all of those things and still be unhappy. And can I tell you, that is one of the main problems with even us as Christians. We are looking for love and looking for happiness in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong places. That is true. We look for both in the wrong places. Amen. We'll sing that in the invitation. We begin to look for happiness in all the wrong places, even as Christians. We've been sucked into the world's philosophy that in order to be happy, it comes this way. And therefore we pursue that instead of pursuing what we need to be pursuing. Now, I ain't going to take long on this, but I want to show you three ways that the world and even probably us try to find our main happiness today. All right? Three words, you can write them down. Number one, we try to find it in activity. Activity. The reason most people try to stay busy all the time is they're trying to find happiness. The most reason why people have to be doing something all of the time is because when they're not doing something, they're sad. When they're not busy, they can't stand the thoughts of sadness and depression that come into their minds. So the main way to cope with that is to stay active. To stay active. People go to work and they work 12, 15 hours maybe to find happiness. People go shopping and buy things to find happiness. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. Shopping online is something I find happy. When I order something online and in 2 days later I see that Amazon truck pull up and I see him come and drop my package off on the front door, it feels like Christmas. Even though I know what's in there because I'm the one that ordered it, it's still good to get something. It makes me happy to buy something, to get something that I want. And you can stay the same. But let me say this. What we will find out is that kind of happiness of getting stuff or doing things is a temporal happiness. It's a happiness that's here, then it's gone pretty quick, isn't it? So three ways people try to find happiness. Number one, activity. Y'all gonna like this next one. Number two, you ready? Food. And Justin would be a big picture up there. Me, food. That's my happiness. But you know, it is amazing how much we rely upon food to make us happy, isn't it? Me and my wife, she ain't in here, but I think she's listening. We found out that quickly this week. All right? Has any of y'all ever been on a low-carb or a no-carb diet? If you have, don't ever do it again. And if you hadn't, I never recommend it. No. Me and my wife did it on Monday and on Tuesday. And on, on Tuesday night, we's ready to kill each other. At one time, I think she said, go sign the papers. I'm out of here. But you know what happened on Wednesday? We went and had a high-carb diet at Cracker Barrel. She said, I want the mama's pancake breakfast. And I said, I want the mama's French toast breakfast. The most carbs you can give me, load it on. I want the blueberry syrup. I want the maple syrup. I want the bacon, the eggs, and add in some hash browns. And by the end of that meal, we loved each other again. And guess what? We ain't stopped since. We staying on the high-carb diet as long as we can. It helps our marriage. Food makes us happy. But I also found out about that happiness. It's an outward happiness. That kind of happiness cannot solve the issues in my heart. All right? Food can solve some good issues, I'll be honest with you. But if you're having a issue with your heart or your soul, that kind of outward happiness can't help it. So three ways is activity, food. The next one that we try to find our happiness is through people. The way a lot of people find happiness is in other people. If the people around you like you and approve you and are nice to you, man, you're going to be happy. But if the people around you are disapproving of you, they don't really care to be with you, they're not that kind, we ain't going to be happy. So some people rely upon other people to make them happy, and that can even go so far as to be a husband and a wife. Monica can't find her happiness in me. It'll be a happiness that comes and goes. The only happiness that you and I can truly find is in the Lord God. You see, in activity, we find out that that happiness is temporal. In food, we find that that happiness is outward. And in people, we find that that happiness is conditional. It is conditional upon other people. So, I want you to listen to that. The three main sources of happiness in this world is temporal, outward, and conditional. Can I tell you, church? We don't need that. Let me tell you what we need. Thank you. Let there be light. What we need is a happiness that lasts and does not fade away. What we need is a happiness that penetrates through all that outward stuff and can get to our heart. What we need is a happiness that is not dependent upon outward circumstances. That's what we need. And here's the amazing thing. That is the definition of the word blessed in verse 1. The word blessed and happy here in verse number 1 means it is a happiness that is not outward, it's inward. It's not a happiness that depends upon others, it's a happiness that depends upon God. You see, this happiness is not one that comes through circumstances or anything from this world. This happiness in Psalm 1 comes from another world. This happiness in Psalm 1 comes from Almighty God. And church, it's not based on what kind of job we have. It's not based on our income. It's not based on how good or how bad our health is. It's not based on our surroundings or our circumstances. It is based upon our relationship with Almighty God. You see, though the world may be crumbling all around us, though our health may be weary and weak, our circumstances may be testing and trying and tough, our God is able, church, to get through every single one of those things, cross through it, split it like the Red Sea, and still give you and I happiness in our soul. That is what God is able to do. to bring us that happiness, that blessedness, and that joy, because it's not a joy that's outside, it's a joy that's inside. It's a joy that's in our soul. The question today is, how many of us want that? Raise your hand if you want that. It's okay to admit it. But I need you to understand this before we continue. This blessedness, this happiness, does not mean there won't be any trials. This happiness does not mean there won't be any heartache. This happiness does not mean our circumstances are necessarily going to get better. You say, well, what does it mean? If it doesn't mean that, it means this. It means despite all that, despite all that, there is still a quiet place of rest and joy with you and your God. That's what this blessedness means. Despite everything around you, there's a quiet place that God has provided right here to where it's just you and Him. Because our God is infinitely happy. And He needs not anything to give Him happiness. If He did, He wouldn't be God. He would be insufficient. He's God. He's infinitely full of joy, full of happiness. And guess what? Because He lives here, He can do the same thing for us. Because He's provided a place in us that can do just that. Let me give you this illustration, and I'm going to try to move on. Listen to what this man said. He said, whoever came up with this concept is a genius of putting playrooms in doctor's offices. Putting playrooms in doctor's offices. He says, many parents bring their kids to the doctor because they're sick and they need the doctor to see them. Well, the playrooms are designed to distract children from the pain of their problem until their problem gets fixed. You see, that playroom gives them joy in a bad situation. You see, that is the way in a form that this happiness of God works. Even though things may not be going the way we want them to on the outside, God has designed a playroom in our soul, where in the midst of everything going on the outside, in the midst of our circumstances, His joy can be there until He makes provision for our healing. Isn't that good? He's made a provision where He can give us joy and happiness until He solves the problem, until He brings healing to the problem. God has provided a place, and as a matter of fact, God has provided a person to be on the inside of us called the Holy Spirit. The Bible says He is our comforter, He is our joy, He is our life, and the Holy Spirit is the proof that we are our Father's children. And through the Holy Spirit who is living on the inside of us, church, I'm telling you, though today the circumstances around you may be troubling, though today the storm may be raging, though today everything is gathered up against you, and tomorrow you are so uncertain, God has given us a place, God has given us a person, that no matter what's today, that no matter the uncertainty that we face tomorrow, God has given us a place and a person to find happiness. Despite all of those things, He can do it. Today, whether you're 18 years old or 84 years old, this world can be a depressing place to live. There's more teenagers depressed now than they've ever been. There's more seniors depressed than they've ever been, mainly because of the surroundings that we're living in every single day. especially with this virus that has come. But not just with that presence that's been released to. That is the job of the pits of hell, to get you so depressed where you stop coming to church, stop reading your Bible, stop praying, stop worrying about the things of God, and just get so down and depressed to where you say, I'm done. That is the job of hell on you. How easy is it in this world to lose our joy? Especially when we're sitting at home in isolation for the last 10 months. How easy it is to lose our joy. And I'm trying my best to discern what God wants right now. Because for weeks, people's faces, I can see it. Your home, you don't even want to go back home. And it breaks God's heart to know that His children are dealing with this down here. God doesn't want that for you. God does not want that for me. If you've lost your happiness, if you've lost your joy, if that's you today, you know what you're saying? Ain't but one thing you're saying. I just want it back. I just want it back. Well, can I tell you for just a minute about the God that I know? The God that I know is not just the Creator. The God that I know is not just the Savior. The God that I know is my Father. He's a good Father. And He delights in giving His children good things if they just ask Him. If my son were to ask me for something that he wanted, that was good. Daddy would do everything in his power to say, son, I'm going to give it to you because I want you to be happy. And let me remind you, Jesus says the exact same thing about your Heavenly Father. And can I tell you about the God that I've experienced? Can I tell you about the God that I know? He's a God who, when I come to Him and sincerely ask Him for something, and I really mean it, and I really want it, and it's my heart's desire, and I believe in all of my heart that He hears me, and I believe in all of my heart that He's able to do it, I am telling you, my Father has never failed me. Now, one time as I found my Father to fail me, when I asked Him for something that was good for me, He came through every time, Brother Carl. Because I've got a God who's able and who's faithful to give His children what they ask for. And I'm done. Because right now, there are people sitting in this congregation and you've lost your joy. You've lost your happiness. And Miss Nan's going to come and play softly before anybody else comes. We're going to use this altar today if that's all right with y'all. Because if you're here today, you've got a husband with you, you've got a wife with you, you've got a mama, a daddy with you, you're by yourself. And you could feel that right here. You said, Justin, that was me. As a matter of fact, that is me. And I just want it back. I just want to be happy in God again. I want you to come down here and find a place with your husband, with your wife, by yourself, and say, God, I just want it back again. Come. We've got a Father, and He's so able. We've got a Father, and He's so good. And it breaks His heart to see you down, to see you discouraged. But He's calling. He's saying, come. Come all who are weary. Come all who are weak. And I'll give you rest.